Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's been an offshore wind stampede along the East Coast in recent years, and thankfully we're not talking about hurricanes. Off the coast of Massachusetts, the Vineyard Wind Project is working to build the country's first large-scale offshore wind farm. But the region's commercial fishermen say the offshore wind industry is growing too fast, too soon. One of their major concerns, the impact of wind farms on their safety. Nadine Sabai has more.
On most days, Daniel Farnham is on the dock of his father's fishing boat, working alongside his crew that catches squid, whiting, and porgy off the coast of New Bedford, Massachusetts. But on this day, the 100-foot boat is out of the water. Farnham is wearing a hard hat, protective glasses, and a safety jacket, conducting the boat's biennial maintenance check. He's been working on this vessel for over 4 years and says nature's elements aren't kind to the boat or fishermen.
My first real commercial trip was hurricane force winds and 20-foot waves at the end of it. And we just kept working until the end, filled up the boat, and then worked our way in. But those are the conditions we operate in, because these boats are meant to go out and work.
Fishing is one of the most dangerous jobs in the country.
It's like trying to drive around in a car with no brakes on a road that can be moving in any direction, like a road made out of treadmills, basically, and then having obstacles thrown in your way continuously.
Farnham says offshore wind farms will make it worse. That's because fishermen argue the turbines aren't spaced far enough apart to allow vessels to safely navigate through them. The plan is to install 84 massive turbines in a grid-like pattern, about 3/4 to a nautical mile apart. Farnham says mobile gear vessels like his that have massive nets trawling behind them will make it even harder to navigate.
The currents and the tide just take you in whatever direction they're going. And so that's when you could wind up having a collision or an elision with one of the turbines or another vessel within the array, because everyone's maneuverability is a lot more limited.
Farnham is part of a fisheries working group. He's hoping that safety will be addressed before the project is a done deal. Fishermen in the group want the turbines to be spaced farther apart or closer together so the wind farm takes up less space and the boats can navigate around them. If that doesn't work, fishermen want to be compensated more for potential safety losses. Environmental economist Tom Sproul says there are reasons to be concerned about safety. Sproul evaluates risk, and his work has recently focused on the fishing industry. In May, Sproul wrote a letter to Massachusetts Coastal Zone management officials. He provided them with some rough economic calculations about the number of accidents they could expect for Rhode Island and Massachusetts fishermen once the Vineyard Wind Farm is in operation.
On average, there will be 3 accidents over 30 years for the Massachusetts fishermen and about 5 for Rhode Island fishermen. We're talking about 8 accidents that randomly happen over 30 years over thousands of fishermen. It could just as easily be 16 over that 30-year stretch, and it would not be statistically remarkable. It could be fewer as well. But the point is that if any one of these does happen, we start talking about much larger costs.
An accident involving a loss of a vessel could cost anywhere between $700,000 to $8 million per incident. That's not including loss of income for the fishermen or the cost of human life. Sproul says the number of accidents will depend on how fishermen react once the turbines are actually in the water.
These things are complex. We don't know what's going to happen. There are supposedly safety channels going to be in between some of the turbine fields. It's not known at this time whether those channels are wide enough to provide meaningful safety.
Vineyard Wind says it did its homework early on in the design process. It held over 100 meetings with fishermen or fishing organizations that work the waters in or around the wind farm area. And it analyzed vessel traffic data to find patterns in how fishermen operate. Eric Stevens is Chief Development Officer for Vineyard Wind.
We did have a navigational risk assessment done by a globally renowned company who does these kind of assessments, and including taking into account experience and lessons from the UK or other parts of the world, and their determination was that it would allow for safe navigation.
The Interior Department ordered further analysis of the project's impact on commercial fishing, as well as a study of the industry's cumulative impacts on the environment. It's expected the analysis will be completed late this year or early next year. And the U.S. Coast Guard is evaluating Vineyard Wind's risk assessment and is working on its own assessment of what measures can maximize safe navigation within offshore wind farms. Stevens welcomes the scrutiny.
It's in our interest as developing this first project to make sure that everything that we've been saying proves to be true.
Whatever happens here has the potential to affect not just Vineyard Wind, but the 15 active projects in the works across the Northeast, which is why Farnham says getting it right the first time matters.
It terrifies me to picture trying to drive through a forest of thousands of turbines, which is, if every state's offshore wind energy mandate comes to fruition, then that's what it will be, several thousand wind turbines offshore that we try and work through.
He knows he'll have to get used to working within wind turbines his entire career, but in the end, he may just do his best to avoid them. For Here and Now, I'm Nadine Sabai.
And Nadine's story comes to us from the New England News Collaborative.